With the 14th, 15th pick in the NFL draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select.
You're listening to the Journey to the Draft podcast, presented by AAA.
Every athlete has a journey. Focused on the game, let us worry about getting you there. Auto repair, roadside assistance, and auto insurance. Start your journey at AAA.com. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Journey to the Draft podcast presented by AAA, a very special edition of the podcast. I'm Alex Smith, your host, joined alongside the one and only Fran Duffy, and we are coming to you from Radio Row here in Mobile, Alabama at the Senior Bowl. Fran, I know for me this is just my second time down here. You've been down here how many times?
6 years. This is my sixth year.
So you're a veteran when it comes to the Senior Bowl. But for me, I know it's always an awesome week just to experience, you know, how the whole town gets involved here. The whole city of Mobile really gets all in on the Senior Bowl. I love coming down here. I think it's great.
It's an awesome trip every year. Phil Savage does a great job making it a great event for everybody involved, the teams, the players, the media, the fans. Everybody involved has a great experience. It gets better each and every year. The city of Mobile is a really fun place to visit. A lot of things going on. Especially the food, the fair.
You and I
have had a chance to take part in a lot of different styles of food. So it's been a great week of practice and on and off the field. It's just been a great experience overall.
I think they're going to have to roll us back to Philadelphia at this point because come down here, you get all the barbecue food, you get all the seafood. Overall, it's a very good experience to come down here. And you get to see some of the best athletes at their positions in the country. Really a lot of fun. So we got a great show for you here today. We'll start things off with draft buzz, and then we'll move things ahead to pick six, where we'll talk about, Fran, six players who might make sense for the Eagles who are here in Mobile. And then for our Mr. Relevant, a little bit different today. And I think it's a really fun idea that you actually came up with. We have Tony Pauline from DraftAnalyst.com, who always does a great job helping us out here at these All-Star games. But we actually did an interview with him live from Ladd Peebles Stadium, up in the stands there during practice, to get his perspective on what we've seen here this week. So you do not want to miss that. And then after that, we'll jump into the draft mailbag. You got a couple questions, I know, from Twitter.
Yep.
So we have a full show for you here today. So let's jump right into it. Let's get into Draft Buzz.
Now it's time for Draft Buzz.
All right, let's get things kicked off here with Draft Buzz and Fran for today. I thought we'd talk about some of the players who really helped themselves the most this week. Obviously, you have a wide range of prospects. You have bigger school players. You have smaller school guys who are really just trying to make a name for themselves. So let's go through five players from each of us who made the most of this week. Fran, I'll let you start here.
Yeah, the first guy on my list is Taylor Moten from Western Michigan, the right tackle for the Broncos, who a lot of people thought, you know what, he's probably going to have to be a guard at the next level. Well, I thought he showed this week, Alex, that in a thin tackle class, he could stay on the outside and be a blindside protector. You know, he played right tackle. He played some left tackle. Today, Thursday, we saw him play some guard as well. So he's got that position versatility. He's done both at college throughout his career. I think he's got good length for the tackle spot. You know, 33 and an eighth inches, not the longest arms, but long enough that he could stick outside of tackle. Gigantic hands, nearly 11 inch hands, and you see that strength, that ability to hold on to defenders at the point of attack. I thought he did a really good job in pass protection. He moved people in the run game. I thought he had a really strong week. I said after the first day that he was probably the best player on the North roster that day at practice, and I think that carried through the rest of the week. I thought he was the best lineman overall this week in practice.
Yeah, and he's just a huge guy. I mean, you could see it from the moment that he walked on the stage during weigh-ins.
Yeah.
You can see it in practice when he gets the pads on. He's just really tough to move, and I think we've seen that time and time again this week. My first player is another really big guy, and it's a local product. Villanova defensive end Tano Passagno weighed in 6'6", 280 pounds, and he is just an absolute monster on the defensive line. Fran, I know that you've watched some of his tape this year, and he can kind of be up and down, but here this week, I think he's really proven himself well. When you look at just a big physical guy on the defensive line, he's proven himself good in the run game and in passing drills as well. I think he's had a really good week. What have you seen from him here this week?
Yeah, I thought you saw really good flashes. You know, I think that you're talking about a guy, and I think I mentioned this earlier in the week in our notes piece, Alex, that in my 6 years here at the Senior Bowl, I don't know that I had heard such an audible reaction when a player stepped on stage for weigh-ins that I heard from when Pesenio stepped on the stage here this week in Mobile. A chiseled body, you know, came in just under 6'7", 11-inch hands, 35-inch long arms, an 84.5-inch wingspan. He's got great length. He's got great ability to use that length as well in the run game as well as a pass rusher. I really like his athleticism. Does he need to get a little bit stronger? Yes. He's only 280 pounds. If he's going to play inside, he will need to get stronger. We'll see where he ends up playing, what kind of scheme he ends up in at the next level. But Pesenio showed really good flashes all week long, much like he did at Villanova.
And, Fran, the next guy on your list, we're going to stay right on the defensive line here. It's Jahleel Johnson. He's another guy who just throughout the week we've seen him show up time and time again.
Yeah, a guy that had also really good flashes during his time at Iowa. You know, 6'3", 309 pounds. And Johnson, he's probably the most disruptive interior player that we've seen here this week in terms of his first step quickness, his ability to get into the backfield quickly. I think that he also is a really good gap sound run defender. It's a matter of consistency with him, and he kind of faded as the week went on. Alex, I thought he had a really good, strong start to the week, mm-hmm. and he kind of faded as we got to today. I didn't think he was as strong today as he was on Tuesday and Wednesday, but certainly a player that was really, really disruptive this week. I thought he kind of helped himself throughout the process.
All right, the next guy on my list, and again, these are players who we think really helped themselves the most here this week. And I'm going to go the local route again, and I'm going to go with Hassan Reddick from Temple. The question for me is I don't know where exactly he's going to play. He really played as kind of that defensive end, edge rusher at Temple, and they're using him as an inside backer here. And I think at times we've seen him get lost in coverage a little bit here or there, but obviously, Fran, it's a new challenge for him. But just seeing him go one-on-one in, you know, against a running back in pass rush drills, he's just devouring people. He's had a really, really strong week this week.
Yeah, he had a great week and certainly was a guy that I was very anxious to see coming into the week because I thought he had the highest upside of any linebacker here, and he really showed up as the best overall linebacker in attendance here in Mobile. I was really happy with his performance, and I think he really took to the position like a duck to water. So seeing him play the way he did this week was really good to see. The next guy that I want to talk about is a player that I was really excited to see here in person, and he really showed up. And if Reddick wasn't the best linebacker here, I think it was Duke Riley from LSU, a one-year starter for the Bayou Bengals. And again, a guy that's got really good athleticism, the ability to play from sideline to sideline. He's a really interesting story. A kid from came from a small town, Burris, Louisiana, a tiny fishing village near the southern tip, not too far away from where we are right now, but just under 6'1", 231 pounds. I love his range. He's a high motor kid. You saw the toughness. I think he's got the ability to be a sub-package player at the next level. I remember a play he actually made late in practice today in a red zone drill where you saw that range, that ability mm-hmm. to play sideline to sideline against Jamal Williams, the running back from BYU, and he stopped him behind the line of scrimmage outside the numbers. Riley's got good speed. I like his athleticism and his instincts coming downhill. I thought were much better than what I expected them to be coming into the week.
And for my next player, Fran, I'm going to look at the running back position. And before heading down here, when I looked at the rosters for each team and I looked at the running back group on each team, I think Danelle Pumphrey was a guy that I was really looking forward to. And I will get to Pumphrey a little bit later on. But one of the running backs here who's really caught my eyes this week, and it's Kareem Hunt, the running back out of Toledo, because I've just seen him do a little bit of everything. I've seen him find creases on running drills where he can hit the hole. I've seen him do a nice job as a pass protector. I've seen him do a nice job catching the ball as well. He's not the biggest guy, 5'10", 208, but he's not the smallest guy either. So I think he really showed himself to be an all-around type back here this week.
Yeah, he definitely had a good week. I was really excited to see him in person. I thought he was the best back of the senior class coming into the week at the Senior Bowl. And then when you look at a tight end spot, O.J. Howard was viewed by many as a first-round pick coming into the week. Mm-hmm. So you think, oh, okay, well, how much does he really have to gain? I thought he really helped himself. I thought he solidified himself in that spot this week. So he was going to be my next pick. Above average size, you know, across the board, under 6'6", 10-inch hands, 34-inch arms. I thought that he showed the ability to secure the ball at the catch point consistently. That was a question for him coming into the week, was his consistency at the catch point. Mm-hmm. Everyone knew how athletic he was, how dynamic he could be down the seam, how explosive he was with the ball in his hands, but securing the ball at the catch point, consistency as a receiver was the question. And he made some great catches that first day of practice, and that continued throughout the course of the week. So O.J. Howard, I think, really cemented himself in the top half, potentially, of round one.
Yeah, he really helped himself by going from from a great prospect to a really great prospect. But he just looks different than everybody else out on the field. I mean, you can see it as soon as he gets out there in between the lines. He just looks different. He's a championship caliber player, and he's had a championship caliber week here. Next up for me, Fran, I'm going to go to the linebacker position. And this was a player that I really didn't know all that much about coming into the week, but I've certainly learned a lot about. And that's Carroll Phillips, another linebacker. I know we've talked about a few linebacker here, but Carroll Phillips Jr. out of Illinois, listed at a hair over 6'3", 237 pounds. But he's a guy who just always seems to be around the ball. And it's kind of, you know, we've talked about guys like Tyler Matakevich earlier in the week, just kind of off the podcast, as kind of guys who are just always there. They may not be the most physically gifted, but I think that Carroll Phillips, not only did he prove himself well in the weigh-in, but throughout the week, been a guy that's just been all around the ball all week long.
Yeah, I was really impressed by him. I didn't get a chance to watch Phillips as much as I would have liked coming into the week. Only saw little bits and pieces here and there, but a guy that showed good athleticism, the ability to make plays down the field, but also as a run defender and as a pass rusher, he did stand out to me as well. My last player is going to be Nate Peterman, the quarterback from Pitt, who everybody knows I've been very high on throughout the course of the process. If you've been paying attention to this podcast or to some of my stuff on Twitter, but Nate Peterman I thought was the best quarterback coming into the week. He solidified himself in that respect, but not only that, I think the fact that none of the other quarterbacks really proved that they could be more than maybe a mid-day three pick, I think that really helped his value moving forward. So now if you want to, there's a him showing that there's such a huge drop off in the senior class after himself, I think that really helped him moving forward into draft weekend. It wouldn't surprise me, Alex, if people start talking about him not just early day two, but maybe sneaking into day one because of the value of that quarterback spot.
Day one.
Potentially. I'm not saying he deserves to go there, but I'm just talking about this quarterback position. And it's an arms race. A lot of teams need quarterbacks right now. The juniors, I think, all have their own share of warts. I would be very, very intrigued to watch this process play out with the quarterback position.
All right, my final player that I'm going to talk about here, and this is another small school player, and it's Tony Garcia, the tackle out of Troy, because, Fran, before we came down here, you said to me that you watched his tape and you were, blown away by him, the way that he moves, the way that he can, the mobility that he has, the strength that he has. And we've seen him down here in person, and he's been very, very impressive to watch going up against players from Alabama and some of the big-time programs. I think that Tony Garcia has really had a nice little week here. He's a huge guy at 6'6", 293 pounds. He's got an 80-inch wingspan, those long arms, and really that frame, that body that he has. I think that could take him a long way, and he had a nice week down here.
Yeah, I think he was obviously one of the guys I was very, very excited to watch. I do think that he didn't hurt himself this week. I did expect him to be a little bit better, a little bit more consistent. He was a little bit up and down for my taste, but certainly has all the physical tools you want at the position.
All right, so that will wrap things up for Draft Buzz, and now we're going to move right along into Pick 6.
Now it's time for Pick 6.
It is time now for Pick 6, Fran. I thought for this segment we could go through six players that we saw this week who could make the most sense for what the Eagles are trying to do, obviously, on both sides of the ball. And I'm going to let you start again here, Fran.
Sure. The first player that I'm going to talk about is a player that couldn't finish the week because of an ankle injury that he suffered on Wednesday. But one of my favorite players in attendance here in the beginning of the week, LSU cornerback Tre'Davious White, 5'11", 191 pounds. He's got above average length for the cornerback spot. But what I love about White is that he's really experienced. He's got great instincts. I love his ball skills. Super competitive. I've said on this podcast in the past that he lives on the island that screen passes go to die because of his ability to come downhill and finish one-on-one against ball carriers the screen game as well as in the run game. I really like White. He's got inside outside versatility, has played some safety as well at times throughout his career. Jalen Mills, former teammate, good confidence. I like everything about his game. I really am a big fan of Tre'Davious White.
Yeah, it's a shame we didn't really get to see more of him here in practice. Obviously, he sustained the ankle injury. We didn't see him. Fran, would you say he's the best senior quarterback this year?
To me, for my money, I think he is. And this is going to go down as kind of a legendary cornerback class, I think, when it's all said and done, Alex, because when you look at some of the seniors here, you know, we talked about a Desmond King, a Cordrea Tankersley was not here, but you have Cam Sutton, Kevin King is a corner from Washington that wasn't here, his former teammate, Sidney Jones, who's a junior. You've got the two Ohio State kids in Marshawn Lattimore and Garion Conley, the two Florida kids in Tease Tabor and Quincy Wilson. You've got Marquez White, Jordan Lewis, Adore
list.
Jackson. Jackson. It's a long list of really talented corners, and this is going to be – he's one of a big, you know, a long group, but I really, really like Tre'Davious White. I do think he's probably the best senior corner in this class.
All right, for my first pick six player here, and again, we're talking players that we think could make sense for the Eagles, I'm going to go on the defensive line and talk about Deshaun Hall from Texas A&M. Because I look at him and I think that he would just fit perfectly into what Jim Schwartz likes to do with his defensive ends, line them up out wide. He likes those longer, bigger defensive ends and just have them go and play downhill and attack the quarterback. So when I see him and I see that he's 6'5", 265, he's got 34.5-inch arms and an 81-inch wingspan, that screams Jim Schwartz defensive end to me. A little bit up and down, I would say, in practice this week. There were times where he really flashed that athleticism. But he's a guy who I think just makes total sense for the Eagles.
Yeah, I've always been a big fan of Deshaun Hall. I thought that he was a little bit up and down this week, but you mentioned all the physical traits. He knows how to use his hands, and he loves to make plays in pursuit. I'm a big fan of Deshaun Hall and what he brings to the table. My next player, I'm going to stay at the cornerback spot, and I want to talk about Desmond King, who – also was a little bit up and down. He did give up some catches this week, and that's without question. But the difference between White and Desmond King, to me, is that obviously White's a little bit bigger. You know, Desmond King came in just over 5'10". He's got short arms for the cornerback spot, and he's not the kind of explosive athlete that Tre'Davious White is. But I like King's ball skills. Again, I like his versatility. I like his ability to come downhill and finish one-on-one as a tackler, because he certainly can do that. He's done that throughout his career. He's got good man coverage instincts as well. So what he lacks in that deep speed, I think he makes up for in other areas. I do like Desmond King. I don't think that size is as big of a factor for Jim Schwartz and the defensive staff that what we've seen in the past here in Philadelphia. So I don't think that he'll be eliminated because of his height or his short arms. I'll be interested to see where King ends up going in this draft, but I do like him as a player a good deal.
All right, and for my next player here that I think could make sense for the Eagles, I'm going to go to the wide receiver position, but I'm going to go a little off the radar, I think, not necessarily one of the names that Eagles fans are talking about. And the players are Tavis Scott out of Clemson. Now, he's not the big physical playmaker. He's only 5'10", 193 pounds. But what he is, Fran, I think he's kind of that jack-of-all-trades type receiver, because if you look at what he did at Clemson, they put him in motion a lot, faked handoff to him. They would give it to him on sweeps and ends around. So when you look at Doug Peterson and what he did in Kansas City with a guy like DeAnthony Thomas, and even what he wanted to do with a player like Josh Huff, who's no longer with the team, but I think that Artavis Scott can be that kind of player, that dynamic guy. You can hand it off to him. You can line him up in the backfield. You can do a lot of different things with him. And I think we saw today in the last day of practice how he can be pretty good in the red zone. He's actually a pretty good red zone receiver as well. So I think Artavis Scott brings a lot to the table.
Yeah, I think Scott has had a good week. It took him a couple days, I thought, to get in sync with the quarterbacks and kind of be on the same page in terms of what he was being asked to do in the offense for Hugh Jackson and the Cleveland Browns. But that being said, I think he does have ability. I do like his projection as a slot receiver at the next level. And I'm going to stay at the receiver position for my final pick. That's Taywan Taylor from Western Kentucky. You know, 5'11", a little bit undersized, but he's got long arms for that 5'11 frame. You know, 32.5-inch arms. He's got the ability to go up and attack the football. He showed the ability to be a good route runner this week, and he's improved in that area throughout his career at Western Kentucky. I've watched him now for the last 2 years. I like his hands. He did have a couple drops this week, but I do like his ability to go up and fight for the football. He's a competitive kid, and I love him after the catch. I like everything Taywan Taylor brings to the table. I spoke to him on Tuesday night at media night here for an extended period of time. I like his mental approach to the game as well. I'm a big fan of Taywan Taylor.
Yeah, I am too after this week, because I think he's certainly done a lot of good things here in Mobile. You mentioned how he's a little bit undersized, so I'm going to kind of stick with that theme for my last player here, a player who's also undersized. That's Danelle Pumphrey out of San Diego State, the wide receiver who had an incredibly productive career at San Diego State, but he weighed in at just 5'8", 169 pounds, which is very thin for an NFL running back. But what I wanted to see from him this week was how hard could he run, how he could bounce off of contact. Obviously, they don't tackle to the ground during drills, but we did see him running with a full head of steam. I thought he kind of served himself well. But I look at Darren Sproles and a guy who it just seems like he keeps getting more and more productive, but I think at some point Darren Sproles is eventually going to slow down. I could be wrong, because he seems like he's just going to keep going. But Danelle Pumphrey, I think, is that kind of change of pace back, could maybe do some things on special teams as well.
Look, obviously you could say this about every undersized player, but if you look at Danelle Pumphrey and what he did at San Diego State, not just numbers-wise, but the traits that he showed as a runner, and if you made him, say, 2.5-3 inches taller, and 15 pounds heavier. Mm. We'd be talking about him in the first or second round. I mean, he's got good vision. He's got good blocker. He's got soft hands. I like everything about his game except his size. I mean, his size. There has never been a running back drafted in the last 5 years as light as Donnell Pumphrey. He's in the bottom 10th percentile in height, in hand size, in arm length, everything across the board. He's just not, does not have the size you want for the NFL level, but I like everything about Pumphrey's game, what he does between the lines.
So there you have it, six players who we think could potentially make sense for the Eagles. That'll wrap things up for Pick Six. Up next is our Mr. Relevant interview with the one, the only, Tony Pauline of DraftAnalyst.com.
It's time for Mr. Relevant.
All right, we figured we'd do things a little bit different for our Mr. Relevant segment today. So we are actually recording this live from the stands here in Ladd Peeble Stadium. Alex Smith, Fran Duffy, and Tony Pauline from DraftAnalyst.com as we are watching the South practice, which is just underway. But Tony, I thought we'd start off today by going back to the North practice from earlier today that we saw really throughout the week, looking at that North squad, talking about some of the guys who stood out this week. We'll start things off at the quarterback position. Maybe not the best group of guys here, but I know Nate Peterman was a guy, Fran, that Fran really liked this week. What do you see from guys like him this week?
I think he was the most accurate of all the signal callers. You know, he was a guy who was able to place his passes well, didn't make receivers work too hard for the ball to make the reception. I don't know that he's got the downfield arm. I don't know if he's got the stature to be a starter. But, you know, if you're looking for a backup on the last day of the draft, I think Peterman has established himself as that.
And, Fran, do you kind of see that as Peterman's ceiling right now?
Yeah, I think with Peterman right now, the thing that impressed me the most was that of all six quarterbacks here in attendance, I thought he had the best timing of all of them. Even though obviously he's working with a new set of receivers and tight ends and running backs, I thought his sense of timing, knowing when to release the ball inside the construct of the pass concepts with the Chicago Bears and their offensive scheme, I thought it was really interesting to kind of see the difference between he and some of the other quarterbacks on that roster, C.J. Beathard and Sifo Lufau, just seeing the difference between himself and those two quarterbacks was very, very interesting in that respect.
Yeah, and we actually have some individual drills going on here at the South practice, but if anything of note happens, we'll be sure to let you know. Let's go look at the running backs now from that North team. Davion Smith was a guy that I was looking forward to watching this week, guys, just because we saw him last week in the Shrine game. Tony, I'm not sure if you thought that Smith really separated himself this week from this group of guys.
No, I don't think so. I mean, he's basically a one-dimensional type of runner. There's nothing special about his game, but he's solid in all aspects. He's very best between the tackles, running downhill. He's also a solid pass catcher out of the backfield and does a good job blocking. He's probably the more of a feature back here than anyone else, but I think he's a bit limited. I don't think he's a three-down player. He's solid. He's not spectacular. He's a guy who's going to go in the fourth round. You could use him as a rotational ball carrier, situational type of player. He is what he is. He was highly rated coming into the season by scouts who thought he could be a first-round pick. I never graded him that high. I think he's done well here at the Senior Bowl as he did last week at the Shrine game, but nothing that's really outstanding.
Right. Another running back that's kind of stood out to me this week, Kareem Hunt from Toledo. I thought he was a guy who served himself very well here. But let's move on to the wide receivers. Tony, I really want to get your take, and Fran, you as well, on Zay Jones from East Carolina, because I thought that especially here on the last day of practice on Thursday, that he really had a good day, really nice job in one-on-ones, getting open deep, showing some ability to separate from cornerbacks. Tony, what's your take on Zay Jones as a player at Eastern Carolina?
He's got terrific size. He's got relatively consistent hands. I'm concerned about his speed and his quickness. He's got more built-up speed. If you watch him in the drills, he takes a while to get off the line of scrimmage. He's not a great route runner. But, you know, he's a bigger-bodied guy that could be a good red zone threat that's going to win out for contested passes, as he did today on a number of occasions, which really drew a rise from scouts and the people in attendance.
Yeah, I think today was – look, he's been solid every single day from Tuesday up through Thursday, and he proved that again today. And Tony mentioned some of the one-on-one situations today. There were downfield catches in one-on-one drills along the sideline where he was making catches over his shoulder. You saw the ability to box out defenders at the catch point and then also separate at the top of routes at times. I thought that he showed surprising quickness. I'm excited to go back and watch more. I do still think that Jones is probably at his best as kind of a big slot receiver, but I do think that he's got an NFL future.
Yeah, I thought a lot of the receivers, or at least a few of the receivers here today, really put in nice days of work. I thought Amara Darbo was a guy who had a really nice day here. And then Cooper Kupp. I mean, Cooper Kupp's kind of been one of the players that's been talked about the most here this week. But Cooper Kupp, it just seems like he kind of catches everything. He's got good hands. The question, I think, with Cooper Kupp is how does that translate to the next level? Tony, how do you see his game moving forward?
I think it translates fine. I mean, he's done a terrific job here. I think he's been the most complete receiver of the North. He gets off the line quicker than Zay Jones. He runs better routes, and he has caught basically everything. Nothing gets by the guy. I think the most exciting thing about Kupp is, you know, it's not an aberration what he did at Eastern Washington. We basically saw that same receiver who ran scissor-sharp routes, who basically was a human vacuum when the ball was thrown in his direction. Doesn't have a great doesn't have great size, measured in under 190 pounds, so he's got to put some weight on. Not the fastest guy, but if you're looking for someone to line up in the slot, line up in the flanks on occasion, run some underneath patterns, you know, sneak it downfield on a go route once in a while, you throw the ball in his direction, Cooper Kupp's going to come away with it.
Looking at the tight end position now, Jeremy Sprinkle's a guy I think who had a decent week of practice here. And then Jonnu Smith out of Florida International, a small school player. He really had a lot to prove this week. Did he show enough in your view, Tony, Jonnu Smith?
I thought he was terrific. He was right there with Roberts, but I think he exceeded expectations. Number one, at 245 pounds, you watch him run the way he gets downfield. He looks like a big possession receiver, 30 yards downfield. And he's a natural pass catcher. He doesn't fight the ball. He doesn't let the pass get inside him. He's fluid. What really stood out to me was, I mean, here's a guy who rarely blocked at Florida International, but held his own in blocking. He wasn't great, but he didn't embarrass himself. He didn't get beat too many times. So you know that you can use him both as a move tight end as well as an inline tight end. I think he, again, he exceeded expectations and really helped his draft stock here.
How about moving up in the trenches here on the offensive line? Some of the guys that have caught my eye this week. I think Dan Feeney is a player out of Indiana, an interior-type player who's really had a strong week. Impressive at the weigh-ins as well. Tony, what do you see from Feeney? How high could he possibly go in this year's draft?
Yeah, in a word, dominance. The ironic thing is that Indiana, he played guard and tackle. Here at the Senior Bowl thus far, he's played guard and center, and he's been equally effective at both. I mean, I think he's gotten beat once in 3 days of practice. He was dominant on Tuesday's practice. He was very good on Wednesday, though he got beat a couple times. He came back and rebounded and was just tremendous. Where does he go? The one thing that they really didn't do here, which I would have liked to seen, is use him in motion. Pull him across the line of scrimmage and ask him to get out front and block while he was moving on his feet. If he shows the ability to do that, or teams think he can do that, or he goes to the combine and says, say has very good shuttle times or three cone times, I think he could slide into the very late final slots of round one.
Wow.
You look at the late round one the past couple of years, there's always been a guard that's been taken. And Feeney, you know, showed today he can not only has the ability to play guard, he can play center. Maybe I'm a bit over grading him, but, you know, you have to like everything you saw from Feeney this week.
Yeah, and I really like, I talked about him earlier, but Taylor Moten from Western Michigan, I spoke about him earlier in the podcast, really big fan of his. And then also I thought Deion Dawkins got better as the week went on. I thought he struggled on Tuesday a little bit, was a little bit up and down, but you got to see him a little bit at tackle today, Tony, but then also what he did at guard. What did you think of Dawkins' performance, the kid out of Temple?
You know, he's very athletic. He has that ability to block in motion that we don't know if Dan Feeney has. The thing about Dawkins is he's just got to get stronger. He's got to improve the strength of his base. When he got beat, he was getting bull rushed off the ball or he was getting pushed back. When he had a bit of a running starter, when he was able to fire off the line, he won out in battles all week.
All right, so we looked at all the offensive positions here. Defensively for the North, if we can just run through maybe a few guys quickly who have stood out this week. Stevie T, the defensive lineman from USC, he is a big guy. He came in, I think, weighing 320 pounds, and he's just been a force this week as well. Tony, any of the defensive linemen from the North team really stand out to you this week?
Yeah, I think he was actually close to 345 pounds, and he's really your traditional nose tackle type. He doesn't use his hands well, but he's able to easily hold the point of attack, which he did. Some of the other guys, I thought Terrell Basham, sort of a defensive end outside linebacker from Ohio, had a terrific week. He's incredibly athletic, was used both out of a three-point stance and stood up over tackle, made a lot of plays behind the line of scrimmage, showed well in pursuit. Also, some ability to drop off the line and play in coverage. I thought Chris Wormley of Michigan, a guy who was used to tackle as a two-gap end in the 3-4 alignment that the North used, I thought he also had a solid week, and his draft stock is moving north.
a lot of local fans in the Philadelphia area very curious about Hassan Reddick and what he could do. Fran, I know you talked to him earlier this week about playing a different position. They really are using him as an inside linebacker type. He was more of a defensive end for Temple this year and an edge rusher. Fran, do you like what you've seen from Hassan Reddick this week?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's been the best linebacker here, honestly. And what's most impressive, you're talking about a player that started his career as a walk-on cornerback for Temple University, moved to strong side linebacker, then to defensive end the last 2 years. Now he's playing as a stacked middle linebacker in a 3-4 scheme here in Mobile, and he's really kind of taken it like a duck to water. I mean, he's seeing the ball well. He's always one of the first players at the ball in those inside run drills. You're seeing him make plays in reverse, down the field in coverage, and then also he's able to stick his hand in the ground and become a pass rusher on third down. So when you have a player with that kind of athleticism, that kind of motor, that kind of position versatility also to impact third down as a pass rusher, you're talking about a guy who could sneak into the latter stages of day two. Tony, I don't know if that's how you see Hassan Reddick in terms of his overall placement, but do you think that's kind of where you see him falling in this draft?
I want to see how fast he runs at the 40, but he's beaten expectations. I mean, we wanted to know what he was going to weigh in at. He was over 6'1". He was close to 240 pounds. I think, as you said, as the week went on, he got much better in coverage, making plays in reverse. If he wasn't making plays on the ball, he was right there and almost made plays on the ball. And as you said, this is a guy who basically was used up the field in the box at Temple, really wasn't asked to drop in the coverage. He really didn't lose anything. I mean, he was tremendous in blitz drills. He was outstanding out of a three-point stance, as I said yesterday. He destroyed Adam Bisognati of Pittsburgh in one-on-one drills, basically made him look foolish. So the thing about Reddick is you have to wonder how much upside does he have, and or where does it end for him, I think is the better way to say it, because he's got a tremendous amount of upside. Teams aren't going to like the fact that he's under 6'2", but the guy is a football player, and he's very explosive.
And then real quickly, just looking at some guys in the secondary here, I think two of the biggest names, Desmond King out of Iowa and then Tre'Davious White out of LSU. And White, by the way, was just announced he suffered an ankle injury in Wednesday's practice. He will not play in the game on Saturday, and we'll have to, you know, we'll obviously fans will have a close eye on that moving forward. But Desmond King out of Iowa, I think, is a guy who's kind of had an up-and-down week. I know he was graded very highly at some points coming into this season, but what did you guys see from King this week?
I mean, Tony, I don't know if you saw. I saw a guy that obviously you see all the traits that we've seen from him throughout his career at Iowa. You know, he's athletic. He's not an explosive athlete in terms of being in a straight line and being able to run vertical, but he's quick in and out of cuts, and he's got the ball skills. He's got the competitiveness. There were a few times today in zone coverage where he had to pull up, where he had the chance to lay a receiver out, and thankfully, obviously, knowing it's his teammate in the All-Star game, he did not do it. He didn't pull the trigger there, but you see that toughness, that competitiveness. I still think he is one of the top corners overall in this draft. It's just a question of, is he going to be a fit for everybody on the outside, or is he going to be more of an inside player at the next level?
Well, he's had an inconsistent week. He's made some good plays. He's also gotten beat a number of times, which I saw today. Now, I learned earlier today that there are some teams that have taken him off their cornerback board and put him on the safety board. That's something that I reported back in the middle of December, and there's some teams who just feel he cannot play corner on the outside on Sunday, so they basically moved him inside to safety. It'll be interesting to see what happens moving forward. He's going to have to run fast at the combine. I think the thing with King was he was tremendous as a sophomore, and his game kind of leveled out. He never really elevated his game, and you want to see that sort of progress over the course of time. I just didn't get the feeling that you got that with King.
All right, we're sitting here in the bleachers at Ladd Peeble Stadium at South practice. So let's really quickly dive into some of the top players that we've seen from this South team. Looking on the offensive side of the ball, one of the guys who's really stood up to me at the wide receiver position is Taywan Taylor out of Western Kentucky. Again, a smaller school, maybe a guy that I didn't know that much about this week, but I think you could argue, guys, that Taywan Taylor, perhaps one of the top overall receivers here.
He's caught the ball very well, which he did at Western Kentucky. I mean, he's a guy that's sneaky fast. He's not gonna, I don't know if he's going to run great 40 times, but he finds his way downfield behind the defensive backs, and he always catches the ball. He's not the biggest receiver, but he runs good routes. He finds a way to separate and come free, and he catches the ball with proper technique. So he extends his hands and snatches it away from his frame rather than letting the ball get inside him. So it definitely has helped his draft stock.
And then at the running back position, I thought Donnell Pumphrey out of San Diego State came in a little bit smaller than I know a lot of people thought that he might be. I think he was listed at what was he, 5'9 or something at the weigh-in, so maybe a little bit smaller, but he has run hard this week. At the tight end position, O.J. Howard, we've talked about him a lot this week. A lot of people have talked about O.J. Howard this week. Clearly one of the top talents here. Tony, I know that you said before this week he could prove himself to be a top 12 type pick. Do you still see it that way after his week of practice?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, first of all, he's an opposing-looking figure. You see the guy, he's 6'5 and change. He easily moves down the field. He gets into the secondary, creates mismatches. He wins out for the contested passes. He makes the regular receptions with ease. He's a fluid athlete. He's also a very good blocker. People have complained about the lack of production at Alabama. Alabama was primarily a running team that threw the ball to receivers, and he did what was asked of him at Alabama, and I think he's not only done what was asked of him here at the Senior Bowl, he's exceeded many of those expectations. So I think he set himself up with a good combine workout to be a top 15 pick in April.
And then on the offensive line, Fran, I want to get your thoughts. A couple of names here. Some smaller school guys, but I know guys that you've been you've praised them a few times this week. One is Forrest Lamp out of Western Kentucky, and his week was kind of cut short by an injury. And then Antonio Garcia out of Troy. What have you seen from each of those two players? Did they show enough to really elevate themselves?
You know, I thought Lamp had a good day overall on Tuesday. You know, I only saw him get beat twice on the day, and I focused a lot on the trenches in that practice, and he got beat twice. One was by Eddie Vanderdoes, who I think is probably, for my money, the best pound-for-pound defensive tackle at this game. He got beat with a quick swim move, and then another time he got beat by Tenno Passegno from Villanova with some quickness and some length. And so, to me, Forrest Lamp, I thought, had a very, very good day, and then he missed the rest of the week due to the ankle. But certainly one of the top linemen here in attendance at the beginning of the week. And then you also mentioned Antonio Garcia from Troy, who I thought had a chance to really help himself the most of any lineman coming into the week. I thought he's been a little bit up and down. You've seen some of the issues he's had with his hands. You see how sometimes he gets a little bit overpowered at times, but a guy that's got really great feet and has the ability to protect the corner as a blindside protector on the left side. So a really, really impressive athlete for the offensive tackle spot. Tony, how much do you think teams are going to knock him for his arm length? Because it did come in probably right on the fringe, or I think it was right around 32.5 inches, which is right around that border of where teams want offensive tackles to be.
I don't think it's going to be a problem, because I spoke with an offensive line coach last night from the Carolina Panthers, and he told me that he thought Garcia was exceptional with his hand use, the way he places them into opponents and the way he extends his hands. He says all too often you come to these all-star games and the bigger offensive linemen from college just tend to lean on opponents rather than properly use their hands. So, you know, even if you have 36-inch arm length, if you're not using it properly, it doesn't matter. And Garcia has basically done that. I will agree with you. He's been up and down. He seems a little bit, I don't know if it's intimidated or playing back on his heels during drills. He has looked good in the team scrimmages, which is going to help him.
Fran, one of the guys that you mentioned here as we switch to the defensive side of the ball, Tenno Passegno out of Villanova, a guy who, when he took the stage at the weigh-ins, got some oohs and ahs from the crowd. How does he match up to what you saw on film as opposed to what you saw in person here this week in Mobile?
Well, the guy I saw on film was a guy with great length and great movement for that size. There's not a lot of players in the NFL on the defensive line that are that big and move that well. One player I've compared him to in the past was a David Irving, the physical freak for the Dallas Cowboys, who has not yet been able to put it together, but has been really, really disruptive in spurts. And I think Passegno has that kind of potential, even potentially higher than David Irving. The question is, can he get stronger? Because even though he's cut up, there are times where, you know, he plays a little bit high, he's a little bit all over the place with his hands, and he got pushed off the ball even at the FCS level. So my question coming into the week, and I'll continue to watch more as I continue to study this game and the week of practice, is how well he played with his hands and how well he played in team drills in run periods of staying at the point of attack. And that was my big question coming into the week about him, Tony.
Well, you know, I want to agree with you. I saw here what I saw on film with him. He'll make one or two good plays, and then he disappears for stretches. And that's what's happened here. He's had two good plays, and then he'll line up for the next four or five snaps, and you won't see anything from him. So, and that's part of the problem. You have to wonder, does he play to his size on an every down basis? The answer is no. If he had played to his size. He's probably a second-day pick, but the way it stands now, he's going to go in the late rounds of the draft.
All right, guys, let's wrap things up here quickly with a look at a couple of defensive players dealing with a couple different situations here. Tre'Davious White, who we mentioned earlier, he has the ankle injury, so we won't see him for the rest of the week, but I'm interested what your thoughts on him, as well as Cam Sutton, another one of the top corners here, who we also saw get some work at safety. So what are your guys' thoughts on those two players, White and then Sutton?
I thought White started off the week very good. I thought he had a good practice on Tuesday. Yesterday he was getting beat a bit. Now, I don't know if that had to do with the ankle injury. I don't know whether he got beat and all of a sudden his ankle started bothering him because he was getting beat. But, you know, that inconsistency is what we saw from White throughout his college career. If he had entered the draft after his junior season, he's probably a first-round pick. Didn't have the season, the year many thought he should have in 2016. And as a result, he's probably going to fall into the third round. We saw that here during the 2 days he practiced at the Senior Bowl.
I think with both players, with both White and Sutton, you're checking a lot of boxes. You know, I think that when you, and I actually a couple weeks ago had a chance to watch both back-to-back just to kind of compare them before coming into this game, and I thought White was probably a little bit more explosive of an athlete than Sutton, and White certainly has a better body. He's a little bit longer, he's a little bit taller than Sutton, but both players have great versatility. I think both are very instinctive. They both have good ball skills. They're both very competitive downhill. Now, Sutton needs to get better as a tackler. That's probably the biggest knock on him, is that he's got to improve. It's not a problem of willingness. He wants to come down and lay a big hit on you. He's just got to get better at finishing one-on-one. That's one of the big things that actually when I talked to him on Monday night or Tuesday night, he said that that was the thing he was most worried about going into the NFL, is just being more consistent as a tackler. But you saw that versatility this week, playing inside, outside, and at safety. I really like both players a lot.
All right, well, we're going to get back to watching practice here. Our thanks to Tony Pauline of DraftAnalyst.com. Tony, thanks for your help throughout the week, and enjoy the rest of your stay here in Mobile.
Now it's time to hear from you, the fans, in the draft mailbag.
All right, again, our thanks to Mr. Tony Pauline for all the help that he's given us here in Mobile and in last week as well at the Shrine Game in St. Pete. Fran, let's kind of wrap things up here, get to the draft mailbag to close things out. So let's get right into it. You sent a tweet out and you got some responses. So here are some of the questions. The first one comes from Sean Wolford, who says, what rounds do you see Kupp and White, that's Cooper Kupp and Tre'Davious White, going in? Who are the best interior linemen of the week as well?
All right, so as far as Cooper Kupp, I think ultimately Cooper Kupp is probably going to be, in my mind, this is just my mind, I think he's a third round type player.
Mm-hmm. But I think I'd agree.
Yeah, but I do think that if he were to go to the combine and have a really big workout, and that's he's the kind of player that can really help himself with a dynamic workout at the combine. If he ran, say, in the low 4.4s or something like that, I mean, that would really, really help himself. I don't see that happening. I do think he's probably going to be late round two, probably mid round three, ultimately in his projection. And then Tre'Davious White, that's going to be really, really, really interesting because I do want to see how he runs. There have been some questions about what his long speed will look like. But then also, when you factor in all the juniors in this class, I think he's a first-round talent. I think he's one of my 10, 15 favorite players in this draft. But in this quarterback class, the question will be, how many corners are going to go in the first round? They can't all go in the first round. Right. When you talk about all those juniors I mentioned earlier, it's going to be interesting to see how many of them actually go in round one. So I do think he's going to be a top 50 pick. It's just a matter of where on that scale he slides.
And as for the best interior lineman of the week?
I would say to me, and look, they moved a bunch of guys around.
Right, they did, yeah. Especially on the last day, Thursday. Yeah.
Exactly. So that kind of mucks it up a little bit. And I don't know what your thoughts are, but I really liked – I thought that Deion Dawkins got better throughout the week. I thought that Isaac Asiata on the first day looked good before his injury. I thought Forrest Lamp looked really good before his injury. But overall, I thought that Jordan Morgan, he got better throughout the week as well. Overall, though, to me, I thought Deion Dawkins from Temple probably had the best overall week, and he got better as the week went on.
Yeah, Forrest Lamp would probably be the guy that definitely I would go to. Wish we could have saw more of him.
Yes, absolutely.
Danny Isadora, another guy from Miami who had a nice little week as well. All right, let's get to our next question. This one comes from NPagan84. Fran, what are the chances of the Eagles taking SFU safety Lorenzo Jerome, an awesome kick returner and safety, according to NPagan84?
I mean, I guess we'll see. I guess when you look at the safety position, though, I mean, you've got five players on the Eagles roster right now that you feel pretty good about. You feel pretty good about where the safety position looks on the Eagles' depth chart. You know, you've got the two starters in Malcolm Jenkins and Rodney McLeod. Mm-hmm. You've got Jalen Watkins, who I think is a really nice third safety. I thought that obviously they had just extended Chris Maragos. He's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. And then Terrence Brooks is kind of the guy that you want to be your fifth safety. He was a good, very good special
very
teamer
good on special teams.
And did a really good job. He actually obviously had that interception late in the game to seal a victory against the New York Giants. So he's got that ability as well. I think Terrence Brooks fits. That's the kind of role that he would ideally fit, a former second-round pick, as that fifth safety. I think that's a pretty good spot for him. So if they were to bring in a guy like Jerome, I think it's a matter of, is he going to make the roster as a sixth safety would be the question.
All right, next question here comes from @ChasingChase3 on Twitter. Fran, do you see the Eagles looking at Dante Foreman, and could they go wide receiver cornerback in rounds 1 and 2?
Well, I guess the thing with me with wide receiver cornerback rounds 1 and 2 is, you know, you don't want to pigeonhole it.
Right.
You don't want to go
it
crazy.
Depends who they are.
It depends on who they are. You want to make sure that you're picking the best players possible, the best players on the board. So obviously, if you're talking about immediate needs, sure. But I think there are lots of other areas where the Eagles could potentially go in round 1 or in round 2. Dante Foreman's an interesting player. Look, really physical runner. I do like his physicality inside. I think that overall, though, he's got to prove himself on third down. That's going to be the big question for him. You know, he was not a productive receiver coming out of Texas. I think he had single-digit catches throughout his career. And even though he was effective as a blocker, he didn't give up many sacks throughout his career, I didn't think he was very talented as a blocker. That was the one difference for me. Going back and watching him at Texas was I didn't think he was a very physical blocker in pass protection. He's going to have to prove himself in that area. But Foreman is very physical between the tackles. I think that's kind of his role moving forward.
Next question comes from @MrMeyer17. What do you think about wide receiver Trent Taylor? What round would he likely get drafted in? And Trent Taylor's a guy out of Louisiana Tech, so a former teammate of the great Paul Turner.
Of course.
I think he's actually had a really nice week down here. He's shown the ability to catch the ball. Decent route runner as well. So, Fran, what do you think about Trent Taylor and where he falls in the draft?
I think the big question will be, look, his size is obviously an issue. And when I look at a guy like Daniel Braverman a year ago, mm-hmm. I loved Daniel Braverman. I thought Braverman was a better prospect than both Trent Taylor and Ryan Switzer, who was built very similarly to Trent Taylor from North Carolina. I look at both players very similarly. The question will be with both is, will teams be able to overlook that size? Do they think that he can step in right now, say, as like a Cole Beasley-type player in an offense and be that pesky slot receiver with that quickness in and out of breaks to be a factor on option routes in the middle of the field? I do think both Taylor and Switzer can play that role. I don't know when they're going to get drafted, though, because it really comes down to a very specific fit. I told you I really liked Braverman last year. I liked him more than both of these guys. He went in the 7th round. So I'll be very interested to see where both of those players, Switzer and Trent Taylor, both end up in this draft.
And the final question here comes from @JimmyKemsky, who is a big fan of the podcast. His question is, what's the big camera guy's name who went to Rowan? That would be Steve Romanchik, our excellent videographer, who's been down here in Mobile with us all week, shooting practice from end to end. Steve obviously sitting across from us logging footage right now. Excellent work all week long from Steve. So, Fran, I think that's going to wrap things up here. We got through the draft mailbag. We had a very full podcast here. But I think that's going to close things out here for our coverage in Mobile, which is kind of sad to say. I mean, it's been a fun week down here. Always good to check on the prospects. Obviously, it's always nice to go back home to Philly, but a little sad to leave Mobile.
A little sad. I'm going to hit you with something cold here. Last year, we were here, and we gushed over Carson Wentz. And mm-hmm. for both of us, he was our favorite player. Even though, at that point, the Eagles didn't really have much of a hope of drafting him with the 13th pick. Who is your favorite player?
We did gush over Carson Wentz.
We gushed every single day over Carson Wentz. Who was your favorite player from this week of practice overall?
My favorite player,
yes.
Or the best player?
Your favorite player.
Because I think the best player, without a doubt, was O.J. Howard.
Yes.
And, you know, I heard a lot of talk about him coming into the week, and he really lived up to it. My favorite player, I could drive some fans crazy here and say Cooper Kupp, because I thought that he did everything that I expected him to do, and he was very effective. Who was your favorite player?
My favorite guy was Taylor Moten.
Yes.
That was my favorite guy. I mentioned him earlier in the show. He was my favorite player to watch all week. I thought he was dominant throughout the week of practice. I don't know how many reps, honestly, Alex, that I saw him lose. You know, obviously he did. He didn't win every rep. But to me, he was my favorite player to watch.
I'll give you one other guy as well, and it's another wide receiver, Zay Jones out of East Carolina.
Yeah, we didn't talk
specifically
about that
on the last day. I really thought that he came through. He's a bigger receiver. He's got some speed. And he did a really nice job against some of those tougher corners. We saw him go one-on-one against guys like I think he lined up against Cam Sutton. But
yes,
he had some really nice matchups, and he did some really nice things. So I'd name him as well.
Yeah, I would agree. I thought he had a really good week of practice, and he capped it off with a big performance today.
All right, so again, that'll just about close things out here on the Journey to the Draft podcast presented by AAA. For Steve Romanchik, our producer, I'll give him a producer credit on this podcast as well, and Fran Duffy, I'm Alex Smith. Thank you all for tuning in. Be sure to rate, comment, subscribe. Let us know what you think about this podcast and all of our podcasts that we have here on our Eagles Network. But again, for Fran Duffy, I'm Alex Smith, signing off from Mobile, Alabama.